Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church Podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our guest speaker.
You know, it's a joy to be with you, and what I want to talk to you about this morning is reading your Bible. A very simple thing, but study was done, a vast study across America in which thousands of people were interviewed, and it was found out the thing that helps people grow more than any other one thing, it's reading their Bible. You know, we have a phenomenal opportunity in this country that the Bible's been translated into our language, and probably you left home today. For many of you, you probably have it in several translations. You know, I hope, living in Florida, that someday, if you've not done so, you will go to Orlando and go to the Campus Crusade headquarters and view the Jesus film and how it's made. And they have a tour there. I went through it. My wife and I were there Wednesday. Tremendous, tremendous display. As of this moment, the Jesus film has been translated into 1,672 languages. And then go next door. It's not actually next door because it's out in the boonies, but go visit the Wycliffe Bible Translators exhibit. You know, Cameron Townsend, I just picked up his book called Uncle Cam. It's well worth reading. As a college student, he had gone 1 year to college and was sent down to South America to sell Bibles for the summer. And he was going to sell Spanish Bibles. And so he went to a certain area, found out these were Indians, and the people didn't know Spanish at all. And so he began to try to talk to this Indian about the Bible, and he said, well, if your God is so smart and so good as you say he is, why doesn't he speak my language? And so that went like a dart into Cameron Townsend's heart. He decided he'd give his life. Now, here was a student, 1 year in college and gone down there, no training in linguistics, but he lived among those Indians and translated the Bible into their language. He says the Bible is the greatest missionary there is. The Bible never takes a furlough. It never goes on vacation. By the time Cameron Townsend had died, there were over 500 missionaries with his organization translating the Bible, going in to people who have no copy of the Bible at all. You know, we're so fortunate. Some of you may know that John Huss was burned at the stake because he translated the Bible into English. John Wycliffe translated the Bible, and later he died, and the Catholic Church hated him so much they dug up his bones 20 years after he died and burned them, because he had translated the Bible into English. You know, some people have paid a tremendous price for us to have the Word of God. And yet I dare say there are very few people listening to me today that spend more time in the Bible than you do on your social media. And one of the biggest hindrances to a lot of people's growth today is the time they spend on their phone dinking around with social media. And yet, when you could communicate with God and God wrote a letter for you, yet we neglect it. So I want to challenge you today to read your Bible. You know, one of the greatest things that will ever happen to you is if you will get into the Scriptures, begin to really read the Bible, you will be amazed at what God will do. When I went away to college, it was just my custom to normally go to the movie on Saturday night. I was at Texas A&M. I was 500 miles away from home. I didn't have money. I didn't have a car. And my dorm was almost like a tomb on weekends because guys would scatter, go to Waco, Houston, places to date. And I remember one Saturday night, I was walking over to a theater, and I thought, you know, I really haven't had much time in the Word this week, and I'd probably do a whole lot better if I just went back to my dorm and read my Bible. I can remember standing under the tree looking over at that theater, and I really wanted to go to the movie, but I thought, you know, I need to make some choices to do what's right. So I stood there for a while and struggled with that. I went back to the dorm. There's a Gideon Bible in my room, and I began to read it. If you'd have walked into that room 2 hours later, you'd have seen one of the happiest Aggies you've ever seen in your life, because God began to speak to me, and I began to read. I don't know if you've ever sat down at one reading and read Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians at one reading, but I began to do that. And I'd read the Bible. And I can remember reading, I think, oh, here's another verse. I just read something over here about the same idea. I'd never heard of cross-references. But God began to speak to me as I began to read the Bible. And you know, what God most wants with you once you become a Christian? He wants your fellowship. Not because God is needy, not because he needs us, but because he loves us. He wants our fellowship. And you know, Paul wrote in Timothy, he said, that from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. And most of you here today, somebody at some point shared the gospel with you. It may have been through a preacher. It may have been through Vacation Bible School. It may have been through your parents. It may be you're reading the Bible. But you come across a verse, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And one day you called on the name of the Lord and he saved you. Now, the Bible goes on to say that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable for doctrine. In other words, it's profitable to teach you the things you need to know to live this Christian life. And it's also profitable for reproof. When you get off a track and you're reading the Bible, God will speak to you and he'll show you how to get back on the track. And then he says it's profitable for it will equip you for the work of the ministry. The greatest equipment there is for you to have a ministry in the lives of others is you're coming to have a knowledge of the Scriptures. And you know, Jesus Christ died on the cross. When he died, the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. That separated the priest from the Holy of Holies, and the priest could go in only once a year. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, that veil was rent, signifying we could go immediately into the presence of God as a result of what Jesus Christ had done for us. Jesus Christ died on the cross, opened the door, where you and I could have fellowship with God. The greatest way to have fellowship with God is through reading the Bible and praying. And I know you'll read things sometimes you don't understand. I read things every week I don't understand. But my problem is not primarily with what I don't understand. My problem is obeying the things that I do understand. And there's plenty of that. And so I want to challenge you. I think you received a little bookmark today that had a place for you to read. One of the things that I do is I have done this probably now for the last 45 years. I read the Bible through every year. That doesn't take a great deal of time. And if you are too busy to read the Bible, you're busier than God intended for you to be. There's time every one of you have in your life in which you could spend some time reading the Bible. The thing I love about this Bible reading calendar, I would highly recommend it for you. You read in three different places. I read in two places in the Old Testament, one in the New. We get up in the morning. I have my personal quiet time. My wife has her quiet time. We're reading the same passage. Then when I come to breakfast, many times she'll say, "Hun, did you notice this in the Word this morning?" Now, there are husbands and wives here today. You may come to church. You may go to Sunday school. But in your home, you don't talk about the Word of God. And if you would read the same passage, you've got something to talk about. And Leroy Ames, who's written more books on discipleship than anyone I know, said, you know, if I were in a local ministry today, one of the things I'd do, I'd get everyone reading the same passage in their quiet time. Then when you get together, you have something to talk about. And so we try to do that with our students. I have a young man I meet with on Thursday. One of the things he does, he reads the same passage of scriptures that I read. When we get together and I'm trying to disciple him, we talk about what God has said to us from the scriptures. And so I just want to challenge you. God wants your fellowship. The greatest way to have fellowship with him is through reading the Bible and praying. I want to read you something from the life of George Mueller. George Mueller, maybe many of you know, became a Christian when he was had been a university student, lived a very ungodly life, and one day, over a period of time, someone invited him to the home of a layman. He went to the home of the layman, and here was a layman that really knew the word. He was very impressed with what that layman had to say. As a result of it, he became a Christian. And over a period of time, he'd go to church, and he'd hear people say things like, well, you know, if something happened to my husband, you know, we've got three kids, I just don't know how we'd make it. And he'd hear statements like that, just like, if this lady's husband died, then God would die, and God wasn't adequate to provide for her and the children. He said, I kept hearing things like that. He said, it really bothered me. And he said, so I began to pray. And he noticed around England there were many little orphans. So he thought, I want to start an orphanage home, an orphan's home, so I can teach these children about God. And so he thought, I'm going to pray. And he prayed and prayed and prayed. And he said, I want people to see that you can trust God. So he began to pray. And then he found some ladies that would be willing to help with the orphan's home. He rented a home for the orphans. And then he opened his orphan's home. Only thing is, he didn't have any orphans. He said, and I wonder why. And he said, then I realized I'd prayed for the home, I'd prayed for the workers, but I hadn't prayed for the orphans. So then he began to pray that God would send orphans. He started the orphan's home. I've been to Bristol, England, and seen those massive orphan homes that stood. They're no longer used that way, but at one time, George Mueller had over 2,000 orphans. He never asked a man for a penny. He read the Bible. He prayed. He prayed God would provide for them. He said never one single time did they ever need shoes that they didn't have. Never one time did they ever miss a meal. Towards the latter part of his life, a man had heard about George Mueller's life and was going to write an article about him for a magazine. And he came to visit George. And he stayed in the room with him that night. And George said, you know, I went around to all the orphans' homes this afternoon. There's not enough food in any one of them to provide breakfast. So before we go to bed, we need to pray. And so George Mueller kneeled and prayed, God, would you provide food for the orphans for in the morning? And then he got up and got in his bed, and in a few minutes he was asleep. The man that was there said, you know, I was so embarrassed. I'd heard how God had never failed him, and I thought, I'm going to be here the one time. I knew there wouldn't be breakfast for those orphans. All the stores were already closed. And he said, I just got in bed and I listened to that old man snore. And he said, we got up the next morning and George said, let's go have breakfast with the orphans. And he said, we went to this orphan's home and we had breakfast. He said, I couldn't believe it. And then the story came out. There was a man that was a wholesale grocer. He went to bed that night and he couldn't sleep. And he prayed. And God began to impress on him, George Mueller's orphans have needs. He said, God, I'll check on that first thing in the morning. And went back to bed, but he couldn't sleep. God kept impressing him on it. George Mueller's orphans have needs. And finally, he couldn't go to sleep, so he called out the truckers. They hauled food through the night, and they had breakfast the next morning. George Mueller was a simple man of faith. Some people said to him, well, George Mueller, you're just a man of great faith. He said, no, I'm not a man of great faith. I'm just a man who has faith in a great God. And the way that faith was built was because he read the Word. He didn't have theological training, but day after day after day, he read the Bible. And God did an amazing thing in his life. I want to read here what he said. One day he went to a certain city, and he said, while I was there, God spoke to me. He said, the first thing I learned to be a concern every day in serving the Lord was not how I might serve the Lord or how I might glorify the Lord, but my first duty every day was to get my soul happy in the Lord and how I could get my soul nourished. And so he said, I saw the first thing I ought to give my life to every day. Now, I want to remind you, George Mueller was a pastor of a church that had 1,200 members. He had these three immense orphanages with almost 2,000 orphans. He had a big printing depot that was printing Bibles and tracts. And he said, I get 30,000 letters a year. Most of them pass through my own hands. He said, I don't know that you could find anyone that is any busier than I. But he said, I never start a day but what I first spend time in the Word. And he said, I saw the most important thing for me to do was to give myself to the reading of the Word of God. Not prayer, first of all. He said, I used to wake up in the morning and I'd try to pray for 30 minutes. And he said, I experienced great wanderings of mind. And he said, then I saw the most important thing was first just to pray that God would speak to me and then to begin to read the Word of God. He said, and then I began to read the simple, he said, not just the simple reading of the Word of God so that it is like water passing through a pipe, but considering what I read, pondering over it, applying it to my own heart, to meditate on it. And thus, my heart was comforted. It was charged. It was warmed. I was reproved. I was instructed. And thus, by means of the Word of God, while meditating on it, my heart was brought into experimental communion with God. He said, therefore, I began to meditate on the Scriptures early in the morning. The first thing I did after asking God for a few words of blessing on his precious word was to meditate on the Scriptures, searching in every verse to get blessings for my own life. Now, you know, one of the reasons I think so few people have a successful devotional life is they may read a few verses and then they close their Bible and try to pray. I think it's a giant mistake. We need to pray over the Scriptures. Now, some people think the Old Testament, they don't like the Old Testament. As you read about all these kings and things, but let me remind you of something. Two verses in the Bible that really challenge me. One of them is 1 Corinthians 10:11. The other one is Romans 15:4. Both of those verses say basically the same thing. Whatever happened before time was written for our instruction. These things that happened to them happened as examples, and they're written for our learning. So these stories in the Old Testament, these things that happened, they happened as examples, and they're written for me to learn something from it. So, for example, one day I'm reading in the Old Testament. I'm reading about Saul and David had been out to battle. they're coming back from battle, and the women come out singing a little song. They sing, Saul has killed his thousands, and David has killed what? 10,000s. Now, what did Saul think about that little song? He hated it. Why? Because of pride. David was being credited as being a greater warrior than he was. Now, why is that written in the Bible? Just so I know a little bit more about the history of Israel? Well, that's part of it, but that's not what Romans 15 says. It's not what 1 Corinthians 10:11 says. It says these things were written. They happened as an example, and it's written for my learning. So I stop and pray over that. God, there'll be younger guys that'll come along and do a better job than I've done, just like David did a better job than Saul. God, I hope there'll be younger guys that'll do a better job than I do. God, I don't want to be jealous of them. I want to give my life to helping guys. And all of a sudden, the scriptures begin to come alive. I'm reading along one day, and I'm reading in 2 Chronicles 26, and it's the story of Uzziah. It said Uzziah was marvelously helped until he was strong. But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly and was unfaithful to the Lord his God. Now, why is that written? Just so I know about King Uzziah, part of it. But God wants me to, that happened as an example for me to learn something. And so I pray, God, nobody gets where they are without being marvelously helped. You look at where you are in your life. You didn't get there by yourself. I tell these college students, why are you getting to go to college? It's because your mom and dad helped you to go. Scholarships, other people help you to go. You've been marvelously helped. We all get marvelous help to be where we are today. And then when we become strong and are marvelously helped in some area, we have to be careful not to become proud. And so I stop and pray over that. Oh, God, I pray pride will not have any part of my life. And I'm reading on. I get to chapter 32. And here's Hezekiah. And it says of Hezekiah, but his heart was so, he became so proud and was unfaithful to the Lord. And so I pray again, God, I don't want to be like Hezekiah was. God tremendously blessed Hezekiah. God greatly used him. But later, he became so proud because now he was king. Everybody was looking to him, and he became very, very proud. And so if you will begin to read the scriptures, realizing it's all written for you. It may have been, and we know that, it's written to the people in Galatia. And we try to understand what it meant to those people first. But God, what are you saying to me now? And, you know, when I think of the scriptures, I read, and I remember like Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's why I want to read the Bible through every year. If God has something to say to me out of Jeremiah 2, I don't want to miss it. I am to live by every word. And God has given us his word and wants us to read. I want to challenge you. This is the Lord's day. Now, men, I want to tell you something. You can go home and there'll be a game on television. You will never live long enough for there not to be a game on television. But why don't you do something special this day? Go home and get your Bible and spend some time reading. Take that little thing that Calvin printed for you. It shows you, okay, tomorrow you can read 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 34. You husbands and wives, read that together. Some of you may want to read it to your children. Here is a New Testament portion. If you will read this, you'll get through the New Testament in a year. Give some time reading the Bible. Now, I want to close with this. A number of years ago, I was asked to go speak at a church right at the beginning of the year, or in December, right before the new year. And I said to the pastor, if you ask me to come, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to speak on reading the Bible, having a quiet time, that is, every day reading the Bible and memorizing verses. This guy had been to seminary. He took the Bible reading calendar I suggested, and these can later be available to you. I would suggest if every one of you would follow this Bible reading calendar, what it would do for you, you would be amazed. And so he began to do that. I talked to him a year or so later. He said, Max, I've been to seminary. But he said, you know, this has meant more to me. It's changed my life, just reading through the Bible and meditating on it. Not to preach, but just to read through it for my own life. And the music director said, you know, I tried this for a year, and then I thought I'd do something else. I went back to it. He said, it's changed my life, just reading through the Bible. I was speaking at seminary, and this girl, I pass out the Bible reading class. In every class I ever teach, the first minute you sit there and have a quiet time. She said, you know, I've been reading through the Bible. You were in our church 5 years ago. I've read the Bible through every year the last 5 years. People read the Bible. Now, maybe you're here this morning. You're not a Christian. I've not primarily spoken to you. But many of you have heard the gospel. If you don't know how to become a Christian, you come right here this morning and someone will explain that to you. There are others of you out here and you've come to this church. You're visiting. You're not a part of a local fellowship. You know, the Bible is very, very clear that once we become a Christian, we're to be baptized and we're to be a part of a local fellowship. God never intended for us to be lone rangers. We need each other. You need to be a part of a fellowship of a group of people who will love you and pray for you, and we can do more together than we can ever do separately. So we would invite you to come this morning if you are not a part of a local church. And you know, I'm not a member of this church, but I know enough about it that if I lived in this city, this is where I'd want to be. And we'd invite you to come this morning. Some of you, maybe God's spoken to you. Some of you need to make a decision right where you are that you're going to get serious about reading the Bible. And why don't you just take a moment to pray and let me lead us in prayer. And then we're going to have an invitation. Will you just decide to spend some time in the Word today? Decide, when can you get up in the morning? What time will you need to get up to read the Bible a few minutes before you go to work? Let me tell you, man, you can get up 20 minutes earlier. It won't wreck your health. But if you will begin to do that and make it a part of your life, you'll be amazed at what God does. Now, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you we have the Bible. Thank you for the men that paid such a tremendous price to translate it into English where we can read it. God, may we live according to what you've said in your word, because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.